Sup, freaks, it's your boy Marty here to introduce this rip of Rabbit Hole Recap. It was brought to you by our good friends down the hall, Unchained. Unchained is here to help you eliminate single points of failure in your custody. They have their 2 or 3 multi-sig vault, which is collaborative custody. You hold 2 keys, they hold 1. You eliminate single points of failure by distributing your keys and their backups geographically. You can lose three of the 4 devices and still get access to your Bitcoin. Unchained is always there as a collaborative custody partner to be the second in the 2 or 3 multi-sig transaction if you need them to sign on your behalf. And their whole company revolves around this 2 or 3 multi-sig setup. They have an IRA that you can roll over into, or you can start a Bitcoin IRA with Unchained. So if you're out there, you're looking at the ETFs, you're like, should I buy the Bitcoin ETF? No. You should hold your own Bitcoin in your IRA. Unchained makes it very easy. So if you're thinking about rolling your IRA into Bitcoin, hit up Unchained. Go to unchained.com/consultation. Talk to their team. You'll be able to roll it over, own actual Bitcoin, not Bitcoin IOUs, and then hold your own keys. It's a 2 or 3 multi-sig quorum. You hold 2 keys. Unchained holds 1. It's a beautiful thing. All right, go to unchained.com/consultation. Tell them that Rabbit Hole Recap sent you and get set up today. This report was also brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. CoinKite is here building the best hardware in the space. I got this little block clock showing Moscow time right now behind me. It's 1929 in Moscow. It's an inside joke. 1929 sats per cuckbuck. They also make the best Bitcoin wallets, hardware wallets on the market, signing devices. MVK likes to call them signing devices. That's what they are. You got the Mark IV, the MK4, which is the best on the market to date. In this episode, we actually previewed the Q as well, MK4. It's NFC enabled. You create your private public key pairs offline. You can add entropy to your private keys with the roll of dice. It's got an SD card. You do everything offline. You don't touch the internet, so you keep your private keys secure. The Q1 has all the same internal guts as the MK4, but it's got a full keyboard. It's got a QR scanner. It's got a battery pack. It's going to come with a bunch of really cool features. You're going to be able to save your passwords there. You're going to be able to create PSBTs. It's NFC enabled as well. They're building the best hardware out there. Go to coinkite.com. Check it out. Get a block clock. Get a Q1. Get an MK4. Get some SATs cards, some tap signers. It's really sci-fi technology. It's really approachable. Coinkite.com. Try RHR. Try CD, try TFTC. Still don't know if we have a code. Enjoy this rip. Ticky.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Look at you. Back at the park.
New week, new me.
New hat. It's nice to see you with a new hat for the first time in a few weeks.
I only travel with one hat.
It's very efficient.
Hats are a pain in the ass to travel with. I've gotten pretty good at packing light.
The Ty Detmer of the Bitcoin space, Matt O'Dell. Do you get that reference? Ty Detmer, he was the placeholder and the third string quarterback for the Eagles for some time. And he was famous for traveling with the team, and he would only bring a pair of pants, a pair of shorts, a t-shirt, long sleeve shirt, and a toothbrush.
That's the way.
The polar opposite of Allen Iverson, who would travel with nothing and buy a whole new wardrobe every city he went to.
I mean, like, I also respect, like, if you forget something, like having the financial security to just be able to buy it at the destination.
Yes.
But like, I wouldn't like go there with that intention.
That's AI. Yeah, lucky for him, he had a money manager that recognized that he was a bit of a reckless spender and locked up, I believe, $40 million in a fund he couldn't touch until he turned 50 or something like that.
No, even better. He's like the, isn't he like the shoe king in fucking China?
He's one of them, yes. It's like him and Stefan Marbury.
Yeah, he makes bank in fucking China on like shitty ass sneakers.
Early 2000s basketball and football. I'm feeling it, man. This has been a busy couple weeks here. This is my third podcast of the day.
I got one right after this.
Yeah.
Should I add a third just to go shot for shot with you?
If you want to.
No, I'm not going to.
I felt bad this morning. My youngest is going through the terrible twos, and I had to leave the house really early this morning. Sort of left my wife hanging.
Did you tell her you had to record three podcasts?
I did. She understands. So podcast number three of the day. Rabbit hole recap.
I think you got the better end of that deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I just recorded with Pierre Rochard for TFTC. That'll be out tomorrow. It's great catching up with Pierre. It was in person. First time we've recorded in person since October of 2017. It's hard to believe.
I love that dude.
Yeah.
I have a sealed dispatch after this that's Bitcoin focused, and I'm not allowed to say who the guests are, but
why not? It's gonna be live.
It happens in 3 hours. Sealeddispatch.com/stream.
You're not gonna give the freaks
I'm not allowed
a little
to
teaser? Why not? Why aren't you allowed?
It's going to be a good rip. If I said why I wasn't allowed to,
it would give away the guest.
No. I mean, it's a little bit more complicated than that.
I just want
to find
oh, God. Beep, boop, boop, pop. Let's let it be known, freaks, that the park has subpar internet. This man had better internet in his undisclosed location that he was recording from for the last month. I don't even know if he's still here, but it's actually if we're gonna have a still shot, this is not a bad one, Logan. It's a good smile. Mid chuckle. Is he even still here? That's my question. Are you looking at our internet? What are the freaks saying in the chat? I don't even have the live chat up. Can you see me, freaks? Can you hear me?
Yeah, they can still see the stream. The stream's running.
What's very funny is if I Google speed test, I can't click any of the links.
Are we under a cyber attack right now?
If I Google
something
else, I can click all that.
Okay, you can see me. We can still see Matt, too. He's just frozen. Is he still in Ecamm? What a time to be live, freaks. The bank runs are escalating. This is an interesting title. New York Community Bank. Had to get bailed out by Steve Munchenbutts. Very interesting development here. The FDIC did not have enough cash to bail out New York Community Bank. There you go.
I'm a mobile hotspot now.
How do you guys not have good internet?
There's a lot of people here right now. I don't know. I'm not in charge of it. There's going to be a reckoning after this.
Just run up and tell everybody to stop working. We got RHR going on.
I know, it's a little bit ridiculous. What are they doing up there?
It's packed here. The Mutiny Boys are back from Madeira. Thank God. I thought they weren't going to come back.
Yeah, it must be good to have them.
It is. I've had some good conversations already. The bank runs escalate, changing it.
Well, they have escalated.
What do you think about this?
The bank runs were continuing, and now they're escalating. Nobody could have seen this coming. It just blows my mind that this would be happening right now. I thought this was behind us.
Doesn't seem like it. I mean,
we seem like crazy people for a little bit there, right, Marty? But here we are. The bank runs continue.
I think many people still view us as crazy people, but they're escalating. This New York Community Bank situation, I was just saying before you came back on, is a bit unique in terms of how it got bailed out. Looks like Steve Mnuchin and a group of other private equity behemoths came together and injected the bank with $1 billion worth of capital. Interesting, because the FDIC essentially signaled last week that they actually don't have enough money to cover the bailout of Silicon Valley Bank and First Republic, which happened last year. Someone has to imagine that they were basically signaling to the market for some time, like, we're not going to be able to bail out NYCB if they fail. And if you go read the thread that Matt Dines posted last night about this situation, it seems like they've been preparing for this behind the scenes, waiting for the right time to step in to bail out NYCB. That was yesterday after trading on the stock was halted twice.
It's not even a fucking bailout. I mean, it's not like a full bailout.
They essentially acquired the bank.
No, but the bank has like $70 billion in outstanding deposits. Yeah. And they gave them $1 billion. And the bank's worth like $2.5 billion.
Yeah, and as you can see from this headline,
it remains insolvent. I feel like a bailout insinuates that like all is good now because money poured in.
Yeah. This headline says 7% of deposits left the bank in the last month. And so if you run that forward, $1 billion is way less than 7% of $77 billion. So
yeah,
it's not going to be enough exactly. If this pace keeps up.
But yeah, it's negligible in comparison. They're still hoping that people will stop pulling. Like most banks just do not have the money to facilitate people actually withdrawing their money in scale. Like not even in that much scale, like 10% of depositors, 15% of depositors, and the bank's completely fucked. This is the overwhelming majority of banks. Bank runs will continue.
They're
like
escalating.
They will continue to escalate. It seems like pretty obvious logic.
Yeah, let's see. Things have cooled down.
And of course, people are fucking surprised. People are always surprised with this bullshit. I don't know where I cut off before, by the way, but next week on RHR, it'll be obvious. Like, I'll give an explanation about why I can't share the guests. I just can't share them.
I feel like this is some growth hack. You're just trying to create a bunch of FOMO.
Not a growth hack.
Dispatch in 3 hours.
Not a growth hack, but search Sill Dispatch in your favorite podcast app and click subscribe.
Okay. Go check it out. I'll be tuning in. I record 3 podcasts. I'll listen to 1 on top of it.
There you go. Thank you for your support. Yeah, which bank is next?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Mandibles.
Western Alliance, maybe? No.
Self-custody Bitcoin fixes this.
Really does.
Just stay humble, stack sats, learn how to hold Bitcoin yourself, use the tools, get comfortable with it, protect yourself.
Yeah.
Sats are our safe haven.
Shout out to Average Gary on Zap.stream. Big Zap coming in. 73,000 sats. 73.6, I believe. I clicked on...
We have a shit ton of people in this live stream right now.
Open this back up. All right, let's jump into it. Clark's dashboard.
Oh, I forgot my block lock. It's at my house.
We're supposed to live plug
in. It hasn't been plugged in yet, freaks. I would never do that to you. It's not going to be plugged in unless you're there with me.
I can't see the message. I waited this long. Are the banks still running? I can't see the message, Gary. Re-put it in the chat. I'll read it. We got to get this momentum back. We've had internet problems. I'm looking at live stream chats. Let's get to work. What is the state of the Bitcoin network? According to Clark's dashboard, we're looking at a price of $67,420. Nice. We are sitting at a $1.32 trillion market cap. Still above the great British pound, or the not so great British pound. We are looking at block height 833,620, which means we are 6,380 blocks away from the next block subsidy halving. We are 1,004 blocks away from the next difficulty retarget, which is estimated to be an upwards adjustment of 3.7%. Blocks have been coming in at 9 minutes and 38 seconds on average. That will happen a week from today, as of right now, on March 14th. There are currently 40,095 transactions in Clark's teeny-weeny mempool. If we go over to mempool.space, we're looking at...
such a small mempool.
131,242 transactions. And the
high priority fee... When is he going to increase the size of that mempool?
I don't know. He needs to take some enlargement pills. His mempool.
Stay humble and increase your mempool size.
Yes. Fees right now, not too bad. If you've got a high priority transaction, you want to get in the next block, mempool.space is recommending a 21 sat per V-byte fee. If you're willing to wait, you can...
Good time to get your wallets in order, freaks.
Get your wallets in order.
You don't want a bunch of UTXOs that are small UTXOs entering a high fee market. That's a recipe for expensive transactions.
Yes. Yes. 15 sats per byte if you're willing to wait right now. Back to the dashboard. There are currently 10,720.27 Bitcoin in unspent capacity in Samurai's Whirlpool. That is 722.9 million in unspent value, quickly approaching $1 billion in unspent value in Samurai's Whirlpool. That is the state of the network. Price... It's been a big tease this week. We nipped the tip of the all-time high, quickly corrected by 10%. Now we're
sitting, all-time high ever.
Yeah, now we're sitting a couple thousand dollars below the all-time high.
Technically, new all-time high.
Technically, yes.
I'm technically absolved of all my sins from last cycle. Now it's on you, freaks. No more price calls from me. Logan, can you pull up primal.net/Odell? There's a freak asking about ideal UTXO size, and I just want to pull up this chart from River. It's more of an art than a science. Now click into that chart. Yeah, there you go. So as you can see here, a 500,000 sat UTXO, this is from River. If we hit 100 sats per byte, you're paying like a 5% fee. If we hit 500 sats per byte, you're paying a 25% fee on a 500,000 sat UTXO. Based on this chart, I would say like a million sats or higher should be a comfortable place to be in. But yeah, just keep this in mind. And also, consolidation is not great for your privacy. Obviously, if you consolidate in two addresses that are not connected to each other, go into the same transaction, the same UTXO, then those are linked together. So you want to consolidate while maintaining keeping privacy in mind. And that's why I say it's more of an art than a science. I have a guide at discreetlog.com/UTXOs. You might find helpful. But yeah, just try your best. You don't want a bunch of small UTXOs. The number one fee burden variable is how many UTXOs are on the input side of a transaction. So the more small transactions you have going into a transaction, the higher your fee will be.
Vat UTXOs, freaks. Been saying it for years. Million, 5 million.
You also think mempools are going to clear again. So we'll find out next February 29th.
They're getting close to it. 4 years. 4 years.
Next February 29th.
Be aware. Be aware.
Back to exist.
They do. The correction. Something to pay attention to. I mean, it was driven by the fact that as we get close to the all-time high and surpass the all-time high, you're going to have all these leveraged trading degenerates piling in, going 10x, 20x, 100x long. That's going to build up some froth in the system, and then people are going to go long hunting to take out those longs to liquidate. I believe there was like $500 million of, more than half, I think it was like $700 million of leverage traders were washed out earlier this week.
Yeah, leverage traders are going to get wrecked in both directions the whole cycle, as is tradition. And then they pile in short, and then they get wrecked in the other direction. And that's why, you know, people who stay humble and stack sats generally outperform 99% of traders, because take leverage, you get wrecked.
Yes.
But it was important because a bunch of influencers that were very trigger happy with their all-time high tweets that they've been saving for 3 years all blew their load at the same time.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Fucking hilarious.
Very proud of us for staying away.
We're at like $62,000 and they had like their engagement bait tweets up. So fucking
it happened in the span of like 2.5 hours too. We touched the all-time high and then we quickly went back down to like 61.8 or something like that.
Quite wonderful.
And it's good to see. Don't engagement farm, freaks. I know you're all waiting. All-time high.
Noster only.
There's a lot of tweets out there.
If you're going to engagement farm, do it on Noster.
Yes. Do it there. Speaking of engagement farming, right, I'm on a list. Finally made my first list.
I don't even want to know.
This channel's on a list.
Oh, we're good on a list.
We're on a list.
Yeah, we're on the list together. This is we shared this YouTube channel.
Yes.
Shout out us.
The Center for Combating Digital Hate has listed the TFTC YouTube channel.
I thought you were talking about like one of those stupid ass Twitter lists that are like, if these 10 people agree, I will change Bitcoin.
No. No, it's a better list.
When are we going to get banned from YouTube?
I don't know. If the Center for Combating Digital Hate gets their way, YouTube may ban us. We'll see. We've been talking too much about climate change.
Why don't you explain to the freaks what we're referring to?
I'll find the tweet. So I found out, I think it was Monday or Tuesday.
Is this a real organization?
Yeah. I mean, they were one of the big ones that actually had some success in getting Twitter's advertisers to demonetize Twitter after Elon took over. It's the Center for Countering Digital Hate, which is a broad term. Now they're focused on us and 95 other YouTube channels.
The CCDH.
Yes, the CCDH. And so apparently not aligning with the mainstream narrative around cataclysmic climate change means you are exhibiting digital hate on the internet. And so they wrote this report defining a new term called new denial. So apparently we're new denialist in the realm of climate denialism. And apparently if you say that the causes if you say anything against the what is deemed by the Center for Counteracting Digital Hate, what they deem to be consensus like about
mouthful of a name
about causes, impacts, and solutions to climate change, you're part of a group of new deniers that needs to be censored because you're spreading disinformation.
I like the term new denial.
New denial.
It's fresh.
It is fresh. But yeah, it's like climate change denying. Like that's the nobody's really
but freshly.
Nobody's denying that climate change is happening. If anything, we're denying that it's a systemic crisis that needs to be solved by completely dismantling the reliable energy infrastructure that exists on this planet and herding all the cows into slaughterhouses to kill them for farting and burping methane into the atmosphere. Apparently, if you believe that, you're a new denier and you need to be censored for spreading disinformation, misinformation. I don't know what they're defining it as. One interesting thing, I read the report, is they're using AI, and they're framing this as we can use AI to identify and flag misinformation on the internet. And if you read, like, they created their own large language model, and they're marketing this as, like, AI is helping us find misinformation. But if you read how they constructed their language model, it's just like we gave it a bunch of our bias, a bunch of our subjective bias and what we deem to be consensus information. And it scours YouTube transcripts to find people talking outside this consensus view and saying things against this consensus view. And it flags them and says this is misinformation and gets into a deep philosophical debate of what is the truth. And
I mean, it's not really that deep of a debate.
No.
Like fuck you. We'll say what we want to say.
Yeah. This is America. Like, are we even free?
We're not a free country, but, you know, natural rights are taken, not granted.
Yes. And I will not cower. I will not stop talking about this.
Oh, yeah. Go on. Do not cower. It's
a good list to be on.
Marty, if the YouTube account is not banned, you're not going hard enough.
We've been putting time out in the past.
What's your response? What's your response to that?
I'm trying my best here, freaks. I'm a new denier. During COVID, I mean, we got put in time out a couple times for going against the narrative. Never got three strikes within a 90-day period. That's what you need to do to get kicked off YouTube.
Freaks, all the streams are fucking on fire right now. Shout out to all the Ride or Die freaks joining us in the live chats and on the live streams. We love having you here with us live. It's worth noting that we do have a Bitcoin-enabled live stream at rhr.tv/stream. If you're not in it, consider joining us over there. It's particularly lit right now.
It's a particulate?
Particularly lit right now.
It's always lit over on zap.stream. All right. We're new deniers. I like it. It's bad. I texted my mom. I said, Mom, I know you were bummed out. I didn't make the 30 under 30 list, but I did make a new list. The Center for Counteracting or Countering Digital Hate has me on the list of people they don't like.
Quote unquote crypto people that have made the 30 under 30 list have rugged.
SBF. There was another big one we were talking about like last week, I think. Not on the show, but
there's a lot of them.
Yeah. Elizabeth Holmes. Not really crypto, but
she would have been if she made it to longer.
Alex Legal and what was that company called? Layer One.
The Multicoin Boys.
Yeah. The Multicoin Boys.
Ooh. Also, 30 under 30 now is like 500 people.
Yeah. It's pay to play. You pay and you get on the list. If you're under 30 and you pay Forbes, they'll put you on the list.
is like the perfect example of like fiat incentives. It's like they inflated 30 under 30.
When you have central authorities, you cannot trust them to maintain the supply of the money or the amount of people they're willing to put on their list, which says there's only 30 members of this list. They'll jack it up. It's multiples above that.
They literally have the nerve to say these 500 people are on our 30 under 30 list this year.
Hey, it's probably one of their last remaining revenue streams, you know? I don't know if Forbes is doing that well. We talked about NYCB already. It's lost 7% of deposits in the last month, slashed its dividend to 1 cent. Steve Munchin Bunsen Carew came in yesterday, injected $1 billion worth of liquidity. That is interesting that you had this private group step in when historically it's either been the FDIC or the Federal Reserve. That is signaling to many people that the Fed and the FDIC are signaling to allocators with large capital that have a high incentive to maintain the stability of the banking system to step in. They're saying, hey guys, we're going to need some help here, which is not a good sign at all. And yeah, they're escalating. You should expect them to continue escalating. And NYCB is probably not the last that will fall into some trouble here. And as you guys know, we'll keep you abreast as the banking system continues to crumble. It's really fascinating that Bitcoin's approaching all-time highs. We're approaching a halving. The banking system's falling apart. Elizabeth Warren and the Department of Energy are getting embarrassed by the Bitcoin mining industry. A lot of good tailwinds coming towards Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Banking crisis is not necessarily like a good thing, but it is objectively a good thing in the context of it highlights why Bitcoin is valuable and why we do this in the first place. Governments don't like holding themselves accountable. The Nigerian authorities blame Binance for 70% Naira devaluation. Move to issue an arrest warrant for CZ. CZ can't get out of the way.
No, I don't think it's for CZ. I think it's for whoever like the local Binance chief is. But still.
Yeah, the Nigerian Central Bank is claiming that the exchange manipulated foreign exchange rates through currency speculation and rate fixing, which led to the local currency losing nearly 70% of its value in recent months. It has nothing to do with the fact that the Nigerian Central Bank tried to take out all the cash notes in the system, replace them overnight, affects monetary policy on a dime, jacks up rates. Nothing to do with that. It was Binance.
Yeah, they're scapegoating Bitcoiners. Expect more of this. Mandibles than Bitcoin standard.
Yeah. Talking to Pierre earlier, we may be in the beginning of a speculative attack.
I mean, is it the beginning?
Oh, no, it's the acceleration point, inflection point.
It's escalating.
Of a speculative attack that's been going on for some time now. Do you have Egypt on the list? I don't think you do.
What's happening in Egypt? I'm gonna close out of my browser. I'm like all fucked up for you, right?
No, you look clear, loud and clear to me.
You look horrible for me. I'm gonna close out my browser and come back in, start talking about Egypt. It's not on my radar though.
Look, while he's doing that, look up just look up Egypt pound on Twitter. They adjusted rates, the Egyptian central bank authorities adjusted rates. Yesterday and overnight, the value of the Egyptian pound got cut in half. So the exchange rate has been significantly affected by a shoot from the hip central bank policy, interest rate policy that was enacted yesterday, highlighting what Matt just described as, you know, mandibles than a Bitcoin standard. All the
Read the book.
All the weak currencies are failing up into Bitcoin. It's happening right now.
Yeah, that's what's happening though.
Another interesting thing, actually, we should note on NYCB as well. I believe the banks actually approach the Fed and are asking them to change definitions for their liquid reserves. They don't want to have to hold treasuries as liquid reserves on their balance sheets because they're basically going to the Fed and saying, hey, these aren't risk-free anymore. These have put us in a very precarious situation. So when it comes to liquid reserve requirements, we don't think you should include treasuries in this basket anymore, which is a signal like the banking system's basically telling the federal government and the Federal Reserve that your treasury bonds are shit coins that we should not be forced to hold in case we need liquidity for our depositors.
We were told they were safe havens like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, the risk,
and
risk-free
time
assets.
Before that.
Risk-free. It's crumbling pretty rapidly across the space, whether it's Naira, the Egyptian pound, or even here in the U.S. Be aware. Apple, they changed their mind. They're going to keep iOS web apps in the EU as they are. What happened here? Why do they have a rainbow?
I mean, I don't know why there's a rainbow in the picture, but I do wonder if it was a deliberate technique where they say, we're not going to allow PWAs, progressive web apps. Or maybe that's why it's a rainbow, because it's progressive. But progressive web apps are like a web app that you install on your phone and you get you get performance benefits. It works more like an app than a website. And following the EU ruling that said they had to add additional browsers, they said there was no way for them to do PWAs securely. And they were being kind of malicious about it. It was like malicious compliance. And they said, we're not going to do PWAs. Now they say they are going to do PWAs, but you can't use the PWAs with alternative browsers. So maybe it was like an end around to get us to this point where they're like, okay, look, if you want PWAs, you can have those, but we can't do it with alternative browsers. You still have to use Safari WebKit.
That's interesting.
But anyway, it's a win for iPhone users in Europe because PWAs are, you know, can get around the App Store limitations. But then again, in Europe now, Apple is required to allow alternative app stores, and they're only going to allow that in Europe, not anywhere else.
Walled gardens, freaks. This is the problems you run into when you erect these walled gardens. Deal with all this regulatory bullshit. So be aware. As of right now, PWAs in Europe on Safari will be enabled for iPhone users, but I would not depend on those being long-lasting. Who knows? They could change on a dime again. More optimistic news. That's pretty optimistic, but Block shares an update on their mining development kit firmware, the API, and its user interface. Pretty sleek, as you would expect, coming from Block, which is a design-heavy company. So this is part of their efforts to be building out in the open with all they're doing on the development kit side. So this is their mining development kit update. So you can learn more about their performance monitoring, the power tuning, their ASIC diagnostics, and their failure mode notifications, and the interface where you can access all these. These are all very important functionalities. What's going on with Matt today, dude? Can't keep it straight. Sorry, freaks. So go check this out if you're interested. It will be interested to see if this gains market share. All these Block initiatives, whether it's the BitKey, the mining firmware, the hardware that they're working on. We'll see. They've been chipping away at it slowly but surely over the years. You have to imagine over the next couple of years, it begins to hit the market and people begin using it in mass and testing it out. He's back. You okay over there?
I'm troubleshooting, and now you're clear. I think I got it. Okay. God damn. I feel like I live in a third world country.
Do you have anything you want to add to the Block mining development kit?
I mean, look, shout out to Jack and the rest of the Block team quietly just turning that business into the largest Bitcoin business in the world. without angering existing shareholders too much that hate Bitcoin.
Too much? Is anybody, are any of the shareholders butthurt?
I mean, I assume so. I don't know. I'm not like tracking it. But it seems like there's been a deliberate attempt to like steadily and consistently turn it into a Bitcoin juggernaut.
Yeah.
Some companies might call themselves Bitcoin development businesses, but it seems clear to me that, you know, Block is actually becoming one.
Contributing to the open source environment in Bitcoin. It's great to see. This is also great to see in El Salvador when they launched the Bitcoin law. They had pretty strict KYC limits for purchases. So if you bought Bitcoin, more than $200 worth of Bitcoin, you were required to apply to fill out some KYC AML information. They've since, or recently, in the last couple of weeks, upped that limit to $25,000, which is really good to see.
And it wasn't just buying Bitcoin. It was self-custody wallets, too.
Yeah.
It was worse than many other places in the world.
And that's better than America now. Right here, we have $600.
I mean, technically, this still, like, self-custody wallets still fall under this purview. So, supposedly, they're going to change that as well, but we will see.
Well, it says will only apply to payments equal to or greater than $25,000.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, self-custody wallets were underneath it.
Yeah. Like, if you're making a payment from self-custody wallet.
They were, like, pressure. There was a bunch of self-custody. Yeah, and they were pressuring a bunch of self-custody wallets to hand over user information, and a bunch of them were based in El Salvador.
Yeah.
That's where the majority of the anger came from.
The second point will be soon addressed with an amendment to the 2005 law. The second point, she's referencing John Attack, Bitcoin Core contributor. He's saying the finance ministry beginning to request all user transaction data from Bitcoin wallets and finance companies. Apparently that, as Matt referenced, will be addressed soon as well. So it's good to see. Good to see good policy, smart policy, policy that enables individuals that use Bitcoin to preserve their privacy coming out of El Salvador. If you're a Bitcoiner in El Salvador right now, it's a good day. Maybe it's always a good day out there for you.
Just, yeah, I mean, I guess so.
El Salvador is moving in that direction. The U.S. is moving in another direction. U.S. Department of Commerce wants to impose KYC on cloud services and AI training. Commerce Department is soliciting comment on the proposed rules for 90 days with submissions due to the agency by April 29th, 2024. This new rule would require that U.S. providers of IaaS, what is that? Intelligence as a software?
No one. Just an acronym.
Intelligence as a software products, including U.S. resellers, implement and maintain a written risk-based customer identification program. The CIP is a Know Your Customer program that will consist of data collection procedures for ascertaining and verifying the identities of current and prospective customers. For many companies, the requirements extend beyond the identification information currently collected from customers. Moreover, U.S. IaaS providers would need to ensure that foreign resellers of their IaaS products maintained and implement adequate CIP programs. U.S. IaaS provider would need to terminate their relationship with foreign resellers who do not adequately comply. The proposed definition for infrastructure as a service product is any product or service offered to a consumer, including complementary or trial offerings that provides processing, storage, networks, or other fundamental computing resources, and with which the consumer is able to deploy and run software that is not predefined, including operating systems and applications. This is pretty egregious. Yet another overstep of the U.S. government, which is quickly losing control and losing the confidence of the American citizens. When this happens, towards the end of Empires. This is the result. They're losing control. So they write aggressive and oppressive laws to make doing business harder, more expensive, and less privacy preserving in the U.S. So this is pretty insane. Obviously, there's a commenting period here. While it's focused on infrastructure as a service, companies like AI and data centers, this could easily be thrust on Bitcoin miners as well. Think of hosting companies.
Just everything.
Yeah. It seems they very want broad.
The powers that be want to control everything. KYC is all about control. It's not about stopping criminals. No. Criminals get around it. They use bought, stolen, fraudulent information. Average people get fucked. This is how it is.
Yeah. Just read more of this. Note that this definition includes all service offerings for which a consumer does not manage or control the underlying hardware, but rather contracts with a third party to provide access to this hardware. This definition would capture services such as content delivery networks, proxy services, and domain name resolution services. So maybe with that proxy service, this is a way to try to de-anonymize VPN users. God, these people suck. Got until April 29th to comment, so it's probably something we should be commenting on. Seems to have had success. Again, talking with Pierre, suing the Department of Energy, and the EIA did prove to be successful. They didn't have a leg to stand on from a legal perspective and were forced to admit that they were wrong.
We talked about this last week.
I know.
Yeah.
It's just the power of fighting back. It is effective.
Oh, fair enough.
We talked about this last week. Yeah, well, we talked about the beta being rolled out, but Signal has officially rolled out phone number privacy and usernames for everyone in version 7.0. So we talked about this last week, but good to see. Long time coming. You can now use Signal without having to dox your phone number to everybody you converse with on the app. Big privacy update by a company that revolves around privacy, and so it's good to see. Long time coming. Better late than never. If you're using Signal, highly recommend you stop using your phone number and create a username.
My internet's so fucked up over here.
Yeah, it's got you run down, tired, distraught, dejected.
I mean, can you even see me? To me, yes. You're just like all pixels.
I can see you. You're a little grainy, but I can see you. We can hear you. That's the most important thought.
I can barely see you. Hello out there. What is up, freaks?
Zaprite introduces teams and organizations, and as a Zaprite user, this is a pretty big update. I actually just onboarded my bookkeeper this week. So if you're using Zaprite to invoice as a company, TFTC, RHR, we invoice our advertisers using Zaprite. You should send them one consolidated invoice that includes information about our fiat rails. You want to pay via ACH or Stripe, and then information about Bitcoin payments if you want to pay us over Lightning or on-chain. And this is a big update. For the longest time, I was having to send invoices manually by myself without the help of my bookkeeper. And now that you have Teams, I can add my bookkeeper to the team account. He can do everything for me, so I don't have to do that. So it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, Zaprite's awesome, and this is a huge update, especially if you're a large organization than just two people too. It's just absolutely necessary to have team support where you can have multiple accounts. And Zaprite's just the easiest way to accept payments right now. I love BTC Pay Server. I think BTC Pay Server is a great option if you're accepting Bitcoin only. But the beauty of Zaprite is that you can also accept through a variety of traditional payment rails at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to the Zaprite team. I was talking to Will Cole about implementing this team feature.
Yeah, go on.
I was going to say, we got to give a shout out to John and team. Will said he's done this multiple times for many different products where it's Stack Overflow or Unchained, and the strong structural base from which they've built Zaprite made this very easy to implement teams. They thought very hard about what they wanted to build in the long term and basically built the foundation such that it would be easy to implement teams down the road. So they've got a good team there, good development team.
Yeah, shout out Zaprite. The other thing about Zaprite that's cool is that they intentionally don't include themselves in the payment flow. So they're never taking custody of funds, which is really cool how it's set up.
Yeah, bring your own wallet. Bring your own bank account. Zaprite never custodies the funds, just a middleware connecting everything for you. It's a beautiful thing. Last on the list before we get the shout outs, Boost. And then software updates. Geyser partners with Flash to introduce NWC-powered recurring subscriptions.
This is awesome.
I'm not aware of Flash.
I love Geyser. Geyser's a... I wasn't aware of Flash before this either. Geyser is like, you can kind of think of it like a Bitcoin version of Patreon that you can easily use with your own self-custody wallets. Or you can bring your own custodian in the form of Lightning addresses. And up until now, but up until now you had to like go to the page and manually donate every time. But now they're using Nostr Wallet Connect to automate payments and provide subscription payments. The wallets they highlighted, I don't know if there's other ones out there that support Nostr Wallet Connect right now, or Immunity Wallet, Albi. And there's an app on Umbral. But the way Nostr Wallet Connect works is it's actually quite simple and beautiful. It uses Nostr as a communication protocol, and essentially it hits the client with a new payment request, and the client, the local client, like your local wallet, your local community wallet, is approving the payment next time you open your app. So it's a little bit different than like how people are used to subscription payments on something like a credit card. It's still technically a push payment. It's just like an automated push payment next time you open your wallet.
It's pretty sweet. Matt, we got somebody new in the live chat on YouTube. Shout out to Super Galactic BBQ. How did Whitney Webb get me here? Who are you guys? Well, Super Galactic BBQ, my name's Marty Bend. My co-host is Matt Odell. This is Rabbit Hole Recap.
What did Whitney do?
I guess he watched a Whitney interview on TFTC and subscribed to the channel. Now you're here for Rabbit Hole Recap. This is our weekly.
No, I don't think so. Someone must have. Did she tweet out our link or something?
Maybe. I don't know.
We have more people in this live stream than we usually have.
Does YouTube have a raid feature?
I don't know. How many people are in the live stream?
My name is Matt. Marty's name is Marty. We've been doing this show for 5.5 years every week. Marty had 2 kids. I got married, had a kid. We never skipped a week. We both evacuated New York, didn't skip that week either. We come in every week, ride or die freaks, as it should be. And we talk about the latest in Bitcoin and freedom tech.
Yeah. And we bicker every once in a while. Not doing a lot of bickering today, but every once in a while we'll bicker with each other. We're here.
Brotherly love.
We're here to bring freedom forward.
No, you're wrong, Marty. We don't.
Shout out to you, Super Galactic, BBQ, and any new individual who's joining us for the stream. Thank you for joining. We believe that Bitcoin is the best money that humans ever come into contact with, that it will usher in a renaissance in human flourishing and freedom in the digital age. And it is an imperative if we want to escape the digital panopticon that the incumbent power structure would like to force us into. So we come here and we talk about it every week, try to provide an update on what's going on and some actionable advice on what you should do as it pertains to Bitcoin and other freedom techs. And with that in mind, we'll go to the top four boost from last week.
Now, the plural of freedom tech is freedom tech.
Freedom tech.
Can't add an S to the end of freedom tech. No, yes.
I said freedom technologies. Freedom technology.
No, I heard freedom techs. I don't like it.
All right, here are the top four boosts from Rabbit Hole Recap 294. The greatest Bitcoin bull run of all time? 50,000 sats from Eric99. Stay humble, stack sats. Be kind and love those who have yet to stack. We're very, very kind to our pre-corners here, okay? At North of the Wall, 20,202 sats, palindrome boost, the Freedom Path. It's a beautiful morning. I think this is a poem called The Freedom Path. It's a beautiful morning. The deer are showing their beautiful presence. Is it a sign? I believe it is. Deer hunter. Deer for dinner. A ride or die freak needs to eat meat. Stay humble. Be aware. And make more babies. Opt out of fiat hysteria. Let's try out Noster poems. It might make sense just to make some poems in case it catches on. Satoshi Nakamoto. I don't think Satoshi said that. But thank you, North of the Wall, for the boost and the beautiful poem. At letter 6173 is going to round us out with the next two boosts, both for 10,001 sats palindrome boost. God bless you both is the first boost. And the second one is solid Big B energy in this room. Big B energy here.
No, everything's lowercase b.
What if it's in all caps? What if Caps Odell is putting out B energy? He's frozen again. This is probably the worst Wi-Fi performance we've ever had from Bitcoin Park. I'm gonna officially submit a request that we upgrade to fiber. Like, you gotta get 10 gig fiber at Bitcoin Park. Look, and this is not a good look for our counterparts in Nashville. This is why all the best builders are coming to Austin, Texas, because we have reliable Wi-Fi. I mean, we're building out pretty critical infrastructure for the Bitcoin standard and in the Bitcoin ecosystem. And you need reliable Wi-Fi if you're actually going to push code to GitHub and then merge it and actually have end users be able to use it. So if you need reliable internet to build the future of the Bitcoin standard, you should come to Austin and not Nashville, because you're not going to run into these problems. We're actually going to be able to fix the world. You can't fix the world in the digital age without access to the internet, and you're not going to get that in Nashville.
This isn't a Nashville problem. Nashville has quite good internet. This is a Bitcoin Park problem, and I'm going to get to the bottom of it after this fucking episode. Bitcoin should either be all caps or all lowercase. Like, that's how I feel. Yeah. It's important. It's important for that to be said. But yeah, Nashville actually has like really good fiber connectivity, just not to the park.
You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know by listening to this show.
You wouldn't know. No.
Those were the top four boosts. Shout out to everybody on Zap.stream in that live stream, zapping us sats. Well over 100,000 sats already. Well over 200,000 sats. Shout out to everybody in the live streams tagging along. We are the new deniers, Little Spoon. We like the coin. We zap the sats. This is what the new denialism looks like.
Well, you don't zap that much, Marty.
I do zap.
You don't zap, enough.
Don't zap shame me. No. Don't try to zap shame me.
Zap shame me. Zap more. I practice what I preach. I'm a heavy zapper.
I'm a top zapper in the world, okay?
No. Raise your hand if you've gotten a zap from Marty.
Logan, raise your goddamn hand, Logan. I've zapped you. You should be raising your hand right now.
His salary doesn't count as a zap. Zap more. No, everyone should zap more.
No, I actually have a stun gun here. When Logan fucks up, I zap him with that.
Use Nostrum more. We like the coin. We stack the sats. We never sell. We spend when necessary. We run the nodes. We support open source contributors. Let's fucking go.
And we don't believe that cataclysmic climate change is the next existential threat to humanity.
Maybe the digital hate. Maybe the CC DH is trying to stop my signal. Maybe they're attacking the internet right now over here.
That may be the case. That may be the case. It's an NGO. We don't know who's funding this NGO. It's typically these NGOs are usually funded by the U.S. government to push a certain narrative to force you down a path to digital slavery. So this could be like a CIA operation. I've long wondered if I'm on the lists behind the scenes. I'm certainly definitely on a list that's public now. We both are. Which is could be a bit concerning. What's not concerning is that the people who have access to Wi-Fi here at the Bitcoin Commons are able to actually build their products and push code live so that their users can leverage these changes. One of those teams is the Mutiny Wallet team, and they've recently released version 0.5.10, which comes with bug fixes, and the Mutiny Wallet app is now available on iOS. The Wi-Fi here in the Commons works, and now you guys can use these beautiful products.
Okay. I mean, Ben is not in the Commons right now. I just got a selfie from him.
Yeah, Ben is not in the Commons. Tony's here. Paul's here. Two-thirds of the team. I'm sure the way it works, you have to get some axe across the team in GitHub to actually push something live. You have to have some code review.
I don't think you know how it works.
I think I do. You probably don't need axe for a private team. Company, but
Yeah.
Should I ask Tony in here?
Shout out to the Mutiny.
Should I drag Tony in here right now?
Yeah, bring Tony in and ask who shipped it.
Logan, will you go get Tony?
But should I bring Tony in there? Then you just send Logan. Is that a zap? The Mutiny team first focused on a web app so that they can't get blocked out of an app store.
He didn't have to tell him. He heard us.
And then... I'm coming. And then now they're releasing apps for Android and iPhone. So you can choose your fighter. You can use the apps or you can use the web app.
How does it feel to have reliable internet, Tony?
Oh, it's so great. I was in Madeira for like 2 months and I just hated the internet there.
We're talking about your recent pushes. The internet at the park is not up to snuff.
No.
These guys... Matt has not been able to be with us for the full episode because they don't even have reliable internet. How could you, as somebody building a Bitcoin company, work at a place like that? Like, you need to have access to the internet.
Marty, I'm sorry you feel so threatened that you want to make this a competition, but I don't believe it's a competition.
Nah, it's just a good contextual.
I've been more productive in like the last day. Like, we just shipped the iOS and Android apps yesterday, right when we got to the Commons. Like, it was the first thing I did when I got here was just ship those. So been more productive here in Austin than
It's good to have you back.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Yesterday was so great too. I was Ben's still in Madeira. He's gone. He's not coming back. he's eating pastries and drinking beer over there. So it's not the Ben you know and love.
How? Let's give the freaks a recap because we were talking about this yesterday. The Hacker House, the cohort. You said it was pretty strong vibes.
Yeah, the Madeira cohort. Streamed. They didn't stream the final demos at all, but it was like 3 hours of. Like the last 2 months worth of work that everyone's been doing. So it was like we do weekly demos there while we were in Madeira, and then it was just like we had a banger at the end, and you know, a lot of great people showed up. It was like a full room of like, you know, 50 or so people that were watching all the demos for 3 hours. Like, you know, it was I got towards the end and I was like, oh my god, I need to get up. But high vibes. I mean, I don't know what's public or anything as far as like, you know, the projects and the people. You know, we were, you know, kind of, you know, a bunch of privacy
don't
people.
Don't talk about
but,
the people. Don't talk about the people. Projects but what were great. Were you most excited about? What were you most excited about coming out of there? Because I had major FOMO.
Yeah, one of the bigger impact ones that really just got like developed in the last 2 weeks after conversations. It's just like basically an IPFS on top of Nostr, kind of doing like images and file discovery and like hashes, all that correctly. Fyodorov has a lot of, you know, bad things to say about IPFS, and we've kind of seen IPFS turn into the very centralized, like broken protocol it's turned into. But people are trying to replicate that on Nostr, and they have a really good path forward. And that was just like sparked out of conversations from everyone getting there. Like, it wasn't even the thing anyone was building yet until, like, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks in. They're like, okay, let's actually like build this and ship it in the last like 2 weeks.
What are some of the breakthroughs that you guys came up with?
A lot of things that helped for us from the Mutiny perspective is just like conversations and like directions and design of like what we want to kind of see the app turn into. So we're leaning more into the whole Nostr stuff and the social atmosphere of payments and just like paying people. So Paul got with one of the design, I think the one of the open source design people, Neil, to just kind of like talk about, you know, what would it look like if there was like a, you know, more payments Nostr focus application, like DMs, payment requests, like, you know, just trying to get to paying a person and get rid of like the whole invoice part of, you know, payments, which, you know, to be fair, like, you know, those kind of suck. Like, who cares about like paying an invoice, right? We're either paying for a good or we're like, you know, tipping a friend or, you know, requesting money from a friend. So we're kind of moving towards that direction. A lot of conversations came out of that. It'll still take a little bit of work, you know, maybe a month or so before we release some of that. But yeah.
No, it was like one of the first things Paul said. I think it was before you got back yesterday or the afternoon of Tuesday now at this point. But he's saying, yeah, we were going out to dinner in Madeira and one person would pay the bill in fiat and everybody would pay them in Bitcoin. And he felt awesome just being able to use the Mutiny app and be like, everybody else was asking for invoices. He was like, where's their MPUB? Like,
yep, just sends apps. Yeah. You should do that more, Marty.
I do it. I do Zap. I'm a prolific Zapper. I don't want any Zap shaming here.
You barely use Nostr and you don't Zap enough.
This is blasphemy. We're using Nostr as we speak right now.
We have eyes. We have eyes. The only reason we stream to Nostr is because I like essentially forced your hand. We both know that.
I'm zapping right now.
He actually is.
I'm zapping.
Who's he zapping?
Congratulations. No. That's a slow zap right now. Zapping people in the live chat. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, freaks, if you've never used Nostr, I mean, it seems like we have a bunch of new Whitney Webb people in the chat. By the way, Whitney's a big friend of both of ours. She's great. But if you haven't used Nostr, consider checking it out. It is a freedom-focused communication protocol that can be used for freedom-focused social media and a bunch of other things. The social media is like the scratching the surface of what's possible on Nostr. But if you want a taste of it, it's a great place to start. Two of the most popular apps are Primal and Domus. If you search for them in your app store, you can get started incredibly easily. And it has Bitcoin integrated.
Yeah. How do you see the Nostr Bitcoin conversions accelerating from here?
Primal is doing a great job of that, I will say. Yeah, they integrated that with the Strike API to kind of like have, like, they're still going very like social and feed based, and I think Mutiny is kind of taking the other direction of like making it more about the payments and less about the feed. But it's cool to see, like, you know, anytime Primal benefits in any regards, like, because it's an open platform, like Mutiny benefits too, and all the users there. So it's like, you know, there's like hundreds of thousands of people that have like Lightning addresses on Nostr. All of a sudden, like, I can start paying any one of those hundreds of thousands of people without you having like a Mutiny account, right? Like, that's the huge thing. If we try to build a whole contacts account thing with a Mutiny, it'd be like, okay, well, there's like just thousands of us here, right? But like, because it's on Nostr, it's like hundreds of thousands all of a sudden that we get. So I see more and more, like, I think Lightning wallets that don't have Nostr integrations are going to get left behind.
Yeah. Well, it comes down to network effects too. And this is like the best way to bootstrap a network effect.
It turns into like basically Freedom Venmo. Like the flow feels like Venmo. Like you literally just type in a person's name and press pay. Pick how much money you want to send and press pay.
Well, it's an iteration of something we talked about throughout the years here with the integration of Bitcoin payments on apps like Cash App, Venmo, PayPal. Like we said for years, like this is the first time like PayPal users and Cash App users can pay each other because they can send Bitcoin to each other. But this takes it to a whole new level where, it's, again, you don't even have to like request an address or a cash tag or whatever it may be. You can just simply send it to them.
Yep. Just zap them.
Yeah.
Yep. And we'll have Lightning address soon. So like we'll be able to contribute to that. And we'll have like Nostr integrations where you can have your private key derived from your C word too. So if you don't have a Nostr account, boom, you use Mutiny Wallet and now you're another Nostr account member that didn't have an account before. So we're waiting for that because, you know, Parker Lewis aggressively hates Nostr, right? But he has a Mutiny Wallet. So he'll lose the bet one day when he.
So next week, I'm going to be in Austin for Bitcoin Takeover. And I'm going to personally try and destroy your internet while I'm there. Parker emailed all the participants. Marty and I are both participating. And he emailed all the participants. And he said, you know, we only have a few tickets left. Like, it'd be great if you could promote it on your networks and the networks you use. And he named Nostr specifically and asked for a Nostr post. So that's basically using Nostr. Like, he bent the knee.
Is that like you basically using Twitter when you tell us to tweet things for you?
Oh, you so Tony.
Oh, I heard you two are have some beef right now.
Oh man,
Tony quit Twitter before I quit Twitter like 3 years ago, and he recently joined and got a blue check, which is just devastating to see. Just really, I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed, Tony.
You got to play the game. You know, we gotta get people exposure to Nostr. This is a great Trojan horse, a blue check.
Yeah.
When TikTok account, Tony?
I mean, if I could dance, maybe I would. But I need to be really drunk for that. This is beautiful. This is
don't
a little
sell
blue
yourself
check.
Short.
A little blue check.
I mean, you got the blue check, you get a pin.
Oh, man, this is worth it. Yeah. This is worth
it. You should consider joining TikTok. I think it's for the mission, right?
I mean, we got to get everyone from there. You know, honestly, like, you know, I joined Twitter because I was like, you know what? Let's also bring Zaps to Twitter. Like, fuck it. Like, use their APIs. Like, use the DM features. Like, just start sending eCash in people's DMs. Let's bring that to Twitter.
Well, funny you bring that up. From what I've been hearing and seeing on Nostr, eCash was a big theme in Madeira, Epic Win Atlantis, and what did you see or what conversations were you having around Chami and Mint?
From a different, a few different perspectives, even just from the aspect of like blinded signatures, like what can we do more with blinded signatures, the underlying concept of like, you know, federated mints and cashew mints and stuff like that. And, you know, we had some conversations there and it kind of led us to start, we're developing this right now with our like federated address server, but like a way you can have blinded authentication tokens that you like pay, like imagine you pay for a service and you get like the quote unquote a token, but when you go to spend that token, when you go to redeem whatever service, like we have no idea who it actually came from. It's just like you, like imagine like Mutiny Plus, like you get Mutiny Plus for 1 month and then like you get like one spendable, like, you know, support ticket token. And that way, like, it completely separates your user account from any service that you use. And so when you open support tickets, like, we have no idea who you actually are.
We just know the specific support you need.
Exactly. And then, like, you know, let's say the conversation, like, ended, and then it's like, okay, cool. Like, we can't contribute that back to the user. Same thing with, like, Lightning address, too. It's like, we, you know, I'm sure eventually, like, Odell will have it, right? But, like, we want to be able to have that separation from, like, Odell@MutinyWallet.com and, like, whatever his account, too. That way, like, if we ever had, like, an order, like, oh, hey, this is a, you know, bad account, you need to shut it down. It's like, okay, well, we can't actually, like, do anything. Even if we could, like, it's just more of the services you get on the side. It's not even your wallet itself. It's just, like, other services you might have, like, purchased or done. At this point, we can just, like, do that separation. So a lot of, like, just concepts of blind signatures, like, what can we do with those? And then everyone that's interested in it from, like, the cashew mint perspective, I think. Because it's almost like cashew and Nostr go hand in hand.
because they're very like simple and straightforward, and like anyone can implement them. And so it's very attractive for a developer to build on Nostr. It's very attractive for a developer to build on Cashew, just because of the simplicity involved, and they've done a lot of hard work to make it as simple as possible from the protocol perspective.
Mm-hmm. And how do you think this evolves from like a payments perspective? Obviously, Lightning has been around since 2018. Heavy focus on payments. Do you see it evolving towards the point where, I mean, the big meme going around is like Lightning is this connective tissue between all of these mints, and a lot of the payments activity for smaller payments moves to eCash mints, and the Lightning Network is either connective tissue between these mints or large payments between third parties like exchanges?
Yeah, 100%. There is a few talks in Madeira, the Bitcoin Atlantis conference, around this concept. Like it's the conversation all Lightning wallets are having right now. Some like it, some don't like it, some have opinions about Fendimint versus Cashew, but like it's a conversation everyone's having.
What are your thoughts?
Fendimint maxi on my perspective. People are like, oh, you're not a Bitcoin maxi anymore. I was like, okay, fine, I'll be a Fendimint maxi.
There's a lot of semantic talk about what are these mints.
Yeah, but hey, time will tell.
How would you describe the trade-offs?
I mean, yeah, the smaller balances, use it like that. Like, you know, we have Stacker News accounts, right? That's fully custodial. People are recommending Wallet Satoshi for like small amounts. Like Cashew and Fendimint in general is just like a strict improvement on top of anything that's custodial or account based. So to me, it's like not even a question, like whether to have it or not have it. It's just like where and when to use it and for how much. That's more of the questions.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. But
awesome.
Yeah. Cool. I gotta get back in there and start building federated addresses.
Yeah, leveraging the internet to actually get work done.
Yeah. I think Matt's frozen, so I'll take take that as time to leave.
No, I was just listening to you guys while troubleshooting the internet over here. But thank you, Tony. Cool. Appreciate you.
Cool. See you guys. Have fun. All right.
Thank you for coming on the show again. Thank you for listening. The fact that you were listening is very flattering. Tony from YouTube.
I really want to know what Whitney did. Like, we have insane amount of people on this live stream right now.
I'm only seeing 218. That seems pretty normal.
Oh, really? It's just mine showing completely different? It's just mine bugging out?
What's your say?
Mine says 2148.
On YouTube?
Yeah, on YouTube.
Refresh. That would be dope.
Well, if I'm correct, search Still Dispatch in your favorite podcast app, click subscribe.
It's saying that for me on Ecamm. If I go to YouTube on my phone, it's 200.
Interesting.
Well,
we'll see.
Well, also, search Rabbit Hole Recap in your favorite podcast app and click subscribe on that too.
Yeah, we're going to pump Ballers TFTC as well. Great to have Tony in here. The benefits of working out of the Bitcoin Commons, you get people who are on the cutting edge of the technology and really pushing the industry forward.
Holy
just right
shit,
here.
You're incessant. Not
right
a
here
competition.
In the office. I know.
We have so many people building on Bitcoin right here that we have no internet. They're using all the internet.
That's a good
the
way to
proof
put it.
Is in the lack of internet.
All right, back to the list. We have software updates. We mentioned Mutiny Wallet. Just had Tony come talk about it. Samurai Wallet launches nextblock.is for more accurate transaction fee estimate. So another transaction fee estimator is on the market. Shout out to the Samurai team for launching that. Any comments here, Matt? And he's gone.
Shout out the Samurai team. I'm trying to troubleshoot the internet live. We're just live.
Zeus version 0.8.2 beta 1 is now available for testing. If you want to test that out, trying to see what it comes with. ZeroConf LSP support for L&D REST connections. Point of sale. You can print receipts for Android customers or users. New multi-currency conversion tool. 33 new fiat currency conversions. Enhanced wallet recovery interface, default channel opening settings, And I'm going to stop reading the show or the release notes there. Bitcoin Tribe version 2.4.2 has been released. You can request test sats for RGB assets now, which is cool to see. Wasabi Wallet version 2.0.6 has been released with Jade and Bitbox O2 support, safety, coin join, and performance improvements. Polar version 2.2.0 has been released with software updates and fixes. For those who are unaware, Polar is a testing environment for the Lightning Network. So if you want to test a Lightning app, you should be using Polar. LNP2P bot version 0.10.0 has been released, which is bringing with it the show solver username in dispute and language fixes. Phoenix Android version 2.2.1 has been released with bug fixes. Amethyst version 0.85.1 has been released with post edits, forks, Git repositories, and more. Post edits. Does that just create another note? What does that do? Is he still troubleshooting? I'm interested to learn more about post edits. How can you edit a post on a...
So Vitter, who's the lead maintainer and creator of Amethyst, he kind of just like ships shit constantly. Amethyst is like the jack of all trades Nostr client. So he just like did it live. He just like submitted this. He just shipped this and was like, here's how I'm doing it. And none of the other clients support it yet. So like Amethyst users can use this feature, and it's not how you normally think of editing a post on like centralized social media. It's actually like community edits. So you can submit an edit request, and then the author can accept or reject it. And then it reflects in the client the change.
It's pretty cool.
But you're not really editing. My understanding is you're not really editing
the actual events.
You're doing a new note, but the client reads it as a change.
That's a very creative way to enable editing.
I'm gonna try something. And I'll probably lose internet for a second.
All right. With that in mind, last software update on the list, Unleash.chat version 0.1.16 has been released with Nostr login support. Shout out to MVK and team building this out. If you want to go use an AI product that is not ChatGPT or a closed source model, Unleash.chat is giving you access to all the best open source models. Let's go check it out. You can now sign in and log in using your Nostr MPub. Bullish on Nostr. Bullish on the internet here at the Commons. Bullish on zapping. Bullish on your freaks. Shout out to all the new freaks who joined us this week. Shout out to Whitney for pushing freaks this way. There we go.
I think I fixed it.
I hope you did.
I don't fucking know, but it's way better now for me. I'm glad it's like an hour and a half in.
Towards the end of the show, we're done the list.
Later. At least I fixed it for that. Surprise guest. What are we at the software updates?
We're done. Unleash.chat.
Okay, the one I really wanted to talk about was Sparrow Wallet. Did you cover that?
You don't have it on the list, but I did see you bullied Craig into pushing something.
I definitely put it on the list. Did I not put it on the list?
It's not on the list.
Okay, well, it's the one I really wanted to cover, so shout out me for not putting it on the list. Huge shout out to Craig. Craig's a legend among men. It's hard to overstate the impact of his contributions on the space. This Sparrow Wallet. Sparrow Wallet is my favorite desktop Bitcoin wallet. It's incredibly powerful, but it's also easy to use, has great design, teaches you as you go. So you actually learn how to use Bitcoin in a much more efficient and secure way. He also has great docs on his website, sparrowwallet.com. If you have any questions, if you want to go through guides, he's like amazing documentation. But this feature specifically, PGP verification, making PGP verification incredibly easy. Is much needed and fucking fantastic to see. And the way he implemented it is really cool. So why do people use GPG verification or PGP verification. So GPG is the open source version of PGP. They're cross compatible with each other. The reason people, oh yeah, and also Sparrow 1.8.4 has been released, which is just has a slight bug fix if you use the non-GUI client, if you use the command line client. But anyway, the reason you do PGP verification is to make sure that the person who shipped the software, that the software hasn't been modified since the software was shipped. And so it doesn't protect you. Like, what is the threat model of PGP verification? It does not protect you from Craig Raw or Microsoft or someone like that being malicious, right? Whoever shipped the software. What it does protect you from is some other malicious person coming in the middle between you and the software developer and giving you a malicious, you know, malware version of the software. Now, in centralized land, what we use is app stores. And with app stores, you're basically trusting Google or Apple to do the verification for you. But if you want to use Freedom software, you don't want to rely on an app store and you want to be able to download outside of an app store. So you have to do that verification yourself. Now, once you start doing it, you actually realize that it's relatively straightforward and easy to do. I guess easy is a little bit strong of a word. Most people don't do it because it adds friction and they find it complicated and overwhelming. So he added a very simple PGP verification tool in Sparrow that not only allows you to verify Sparrow downloads, but it also allows you to enables you to verify a bunch of other popular Bitcoin software packages, and that includes Bitcoin Core, Core Lightning, Cold Card, Bitbox, Electrum, Fulcrum, LND, Passport, Seed Signer, Spectre Desktop, Spectre DIY, and Trezor. So he put the signatures, the author signatures of those software packages into Sparrow. So all you have to do is you take the three files, the manifest file, the signature file, and the actual download file that you get from their website, and you just drag them into the Sparrow window, and it will tell you if it verifies or not, which is fucking clean. And hopefully it means a lot more people will actually PGP verify their downloads going forward, which is what we want to see. Also, on top of all of that, if you are actually using GPG and you have a list of keys, right? So like the ideal world, there's going to be haters. There's going to be purists that say, you know, you're trusting Craig that he put the actual keys in Sparrow when you download a Sparrow. That's true. Like, you're better off doing GPG your own way and actually holding the keys locally yourself. If you are doing that, Sparrow pulls your keys from your GPG keychain, your local GPG keychain. So like the way you can think about that is you have the keys from all your favorite software developers, all the software you rely on. You have that locally held on your machine, and that never changes. What changes is the new download packages you have over time, and those signatures should always match the keys that you have locally on your machine. So I just think he did it in a really clean way. It's nice that you don't need another piece of software. Like, most Bitcoiners will already have Sparrow to begin with because it's just fucking awesome. It's a great way to manage your wallets, whether those are hot wallets, whether those are hardware wallets. It supports all the major hardware wallets. You can use it with multi-sig. I can't believe I didn't put it on the list. Logan, just make sure we put that story in the podcast show notes.
Shout out to Craig. Shout out to Sparrow. Shout out to you for pushing for these types of functions and all these apps. Very important.
Yeah, it was a conversation in a different podcast that shall not be named. It's like a substandard list podcast. They also do lists on like a weekly basis, but it's not worth listening to.
It's not nice.
I know he's listening right now. It's NBK's pod, Bitcoin.review. It's a great podcast.
So if you're looking to fall asleep, you just put that on.
NBK is right now sitting with the two Bens over in Madeira. So shout out to them.
Shout out to you guys. I'm kidding. High Signal podcast as well.
Yeah, I mean, he says it's about sleeping.
Yeah. I'm going to add something to the list too. Our former, the city we used to live in. What the hell is going on? Have you seen this? The National Guard is searching bags at the entrance of Grand Central subway station. Earlier today, Kathy Hochul, who's the governor of New York State, announced she would send 750 National Guard members to the subway stations throughout New York City. What's going on here?
Oh, only 750, huh? I thought it was 750,000.
That's a lot.
I actually didn't know this was happening, but I did see a meme on Noster of like a bunch of National Guard like in a Subway sandwich shop. So now I get the meme.
What are they preparing? Are they preparing for something? I don't think anything happened.
Maybe they have some kind of threat. I mean, I'm not, you know, it's fucking New York. They just do this shit all the time. It's ridiculous.
I don't. I lived there for 6 years. I don't remember the National Guard ever checking my bag.
Okay, but I mean, it wasn't the National Guard. It was the NYPD, and it was because you weren't black. But they would, you know, stop and frisk was the thing. Whereas, like, if you were black and you were riding on the subway, like, all your shit got searched constantly.
Yeah.
There's a reason. Like, people say like Mandibles is over the top, but it's based in New York. Like the whole. The whole
New York's
book,
a testing ground.
The whole book takes place in New York. Presumably in other places, it's not as bad. But there's a reason we left.
Yeah, they're not doing that here in Texas. I don't think they're doing it in Tennessee either.
There was a couple of New Yorkers that like turned to Marty and I with like, you're like, you're not going to stay and fight. It's like, no, fuck that. Life's short. I'm just going to move.
It's not even just stay and fight. It's like, I'm not paying these taxes anymore. It's absurd.
Yeah.
For the services. Like, yeah.
Even like the best case scenario is like, it turns around in 20 years. It's like, fuck that shit. I'm not, not if you don't have to, why would I?
We've got families to raise. Businesses to run. New York's
one of
the
benefits of America. One of the benefits of America is that you can easily change jurisdiction between the states. For now, like the borders are relatively open and you can travel easily between them.
Yeah.
For now.
Let's keep it that way. Let's try to keep it that way. I hope we keep it that way. I think we're going to get back to it. Are you excited for the State of the Union address tonight? Should we put an over-under on how long it lasts?
I'm excited the internet works.
You should be. It's the little things you have to appreciate.
I just struggled through that whole fucking episode, and now we're like finishing the rip, and I have like amazing internet.
We all struggled with you.
I don't really feel like you guys did. I feel like I was just like on my own.
I'm putting the over-under on the State of the Union at 5 minutes. I'm going to take the under.
When is the State of the Union?
It's tonight, apparently.
People really think yesterday. I played dumb with this shit. Most of the time I find out this shit live on RHR.
I didn't know this until last night.
It's not me playing dumb.
They ninja launched the State of the Union on the nation.
Did they actually ninja launch it?
I think so, yeah.
I find out like most of my current event news on RHR Live.
Here's the State of the Union.
The non-Bitcoin stuff. I make the list. If it's on the list, I knew about it.
Yes. Here's the State of the Union from a couple... or from an individual American citizen. We have National Guard members combing through people's bags in New York City subway. We have a president who can't form a sentence. We have an election.
They're going to replace him for the election, right?
I don't know, man. They seem pretty dead set.
Do you want to bet?
No, I don't want to bet because I could see it going both ways.
Maybe
that's like the State of the Union.
If
the State of the Union's under 5 minutes tonight, they pull him. Like I can see, like if, this, I can see this being epic, where he goes up there gonna, completely, like he may literally shit his pants.
Which way would you go? You can only pick one.
Is it
Biden versus Trump, or does he get replaced by someone?
I could would not be surprised if we get a Michelle Obama / Hillary Clinton / Gavin Newsom.
No, it's going to be like Gavin Newsom. Yeah, it's going to be a non-controversial, like a out of the spotlight, quote unquote, someone with experience, white man that's the replacement. So it's like Gavin Newsom or like someone I don't know. It's not going to be like Michelle Obama or Hillary Clinton. It's like there are too many people already have their opinions.
What if did you see his gaffe last week?
Last minute.
It was a big topic in the comments for a couple days.
What happened?
He's talking about the fires in North Texas. He's like, yeah, unless you had your roof painted a certain color, your house blew up. Like,
wait, did he really say that?
He really said it, Logan. Find the clip. It's short.
That's like Maui thing, right?
Yeah, it's a direct energy weapon. He's just really feeding everybody. He's like, there's Biden.
Wait, roof. I didn't even know there was, what happened in North Texas up, with the fires?
Up in the panhandle, there was a big fire.
Was it really bad?
Yeah, and it's actually, he said this, and then Governor Abbott came out this week and was like, hey, there's something weird with these fires. The way these buildings were completely decimated does not align with what we've seen.
So do you think it was direct typical energy structure. Weapons?
These things exist. They're real. We know that the UK government's tested them. I would not be surprised. You know me. I would not be surprised.
Because if you fly over these areas that are burned to the ground, you'll see in the midst of 20 homes that are just totally destroyed, one home sitting there because they had the right roof on it. And anyway, since I took office, FEMA's provided Texas alone.
Did you hear that?
Because they had the right roof on it?
Yeah, color blue, which the lasers don't incinerate, apparently.
Was it still the blue roofs?
Yeah.
What color is your roof, Marty?
Not blue, but it might change. I think so. We should get. There was a funny meme. I haven't
Wait,
been
so that. Wait, so this technology is like a super laser from space?
Yes.
But it can't penetrate a blue color thing.
Yeah, the way the like color spectrum works.
Seems like a critical. Do they just choose which color?
I don't know. I'm not
like if we start using blue, could they switch to red, and then the blue houses get fucked?
I don't. I think it has something to do with like the infrared.
Limited by blue.
I think the blue may not be as receptive to the heat of the infrared. I'm talking
out of my
ass.
It just doesn't work
here.
On blue.
Yeah. There's got to be some freaks in the comments.
Blue shirt, blue hat.
There's an incredible meme that was going around.
What color is the commons roof?
It's blue.
See that?
It's blue.
That's the difference. We might have shitty internet at the park, but we actually own our roof, so we can change the color of our roof. You guys can't change the color of your roof. We're gonna put a blue roof on.
Bitcoin keeps pumping. We're buying the building, so.
No, we'll see. Does it come with the homeless people outside, or is it extra?
You got me there. I have a feeling we'll stay. We just reelected, or the Jose Garcia, or Garza, excuse me. He's the DA here, the Soros-backed DA. Just won the primary, so he's likely going to be our DA for the next 4 years, too. And he's okay with letting lawlessness reign in the city of Austin. But we're fighting back. We're fighting back. I can't find this meme. It was hilarious, though.
I just got a text from a ride or die freak, a signal message actually. I can log into Zapstream, but yes, they can change color frequencies.
Okay.
Arrow up the space lasers, just to clarify. I can't believe you haven't gone down the rabbit hole.
It's open. Like there's information, like there's government documents talking about these direct energy weapons. Logan, pull up the meme. Doesn't your family deserve a chance? Space laser blue, blow it up.
That seems like a critical failure that we can just paint them blue, but I'm down.
Be aware, freaks. Be aware. Yeah, so State of the Union tonight. Maybe he's just like so out of his mind that he just begins admitting all this and like unintentionally. Under 5 minutes, going with it.
State of the Unions are usually like an hour and a half, right?
I know. I don't think there's enough amphetamines on the planet to get that guy to talk for an hour and a half.
I mean, they could use a double or something.
That's true. You got me there.
At least I have great internet now. You have anything else you want to chat about? Does China have a space laser program?
Would not be surprised. They definitely have it. It's not space lasers. They have them on their... They have at least one on one of their naval ships.
I don't think Biden... someone in the comments asked if Biden's going to drop out tonight. I think they do it like right before the election. Because the whole point is like...
No, they need time.
No, it's the opposite. You give the least amount of time for the attacks to happen. Like, Newsom can't survive 6 months of attacks.
Of Trump making fun of him.
Yeah, you give him like 3 weeks. And you know, it's just like, boom.
Here's a new snake for you.
Yeah.
This is why we Bitcoin freaks. We don't have to worry about this.
So is Ecamm just lying to me? Does they just make the number algorithmically go up?
I don't know. We'll find out. Once
I'm at like 2,400 now on my Ecamm.
Maybe it's like collecting each individual person who shows up, and it's not like
how many people are watching on Twitter?
Way higher concurrent than we usually have.
Oh yeah, we have.
Is it Twitter?
We have 2,150 views Whitney on Twitter.
Did Whitney retweet us?
I don't know. Did she?
I don't know. Well, shout out to all the new freaks. Stay humble, stack sats. You got to buy Bitcoin if you don't have any Bitcoin.
Yeah. There's only 21 million.
Make sure you paint your Bitcoin blue.
Your family deserves a chance.
Best way to secure it.
Peace and love, freaks. Tiki!